It is WSBA's morning news. Gary Sutton on vacation till next Monday. And Dave, Eddie, and I are here today and tomorrow. We're taking then the rest of the holiday week off. So let's talk about the holiday. And there's no better subject, as far as I'm concerned, than food. And we are lucky enough to have Dominic Cundo here. And he is a food blogger. He's a Pennsylvanian out in Drexel Hill. Dominic, welcome and good morning.
Oh, good morning. Thank you for having me.
Now, I'm going to let you set up your, because you have a blog that has a name. You have a book that's out. Tell us a little bit about yourself.
Sure. Well, I grew up in the Philadelphia area. I'm actually originally born and raised in South Philadelphia, where food is very prominent. You're brought up on food.
Oh, yeah.
Your parents, grandparents introduce you to all these great recipes that unfortunately had no written recipes. Everything was either from memory or from taste, or maybe your aunts just didn't want to share any recipes. They wanted to keep them secret, you know. So when my wife and I had gotten married, we decided that we wanted to keep these traditions going with our children, make sure they understand our heritage and the foods that we eat. And I started a food blog to document these recipes that had no recipes, figure out what the recipe is, and to kind of simplify them, because we're all working today. My wife and I are both full-time working parents. We don't have the time to spend all day in the kitchen, for as much as I would love to. So I put together this food blog, which is domskitchen.com. If you go to the website, the title says Cucina Domenico, but I figured people would have trouble spelling that, so I went with domskitchen.com for the actual website address. And I've been doing it for about 9 years now.
Wow.
I've gotten my kids involved with it, and I've had so much fun with it. And the latest iteration of my food blog is a new book that I just put out called A Little of This and Some of That. And it's updated recipes that have appeared on my food blog, new recipes, and a memoir of all of the great opportunities that came my way from being a food blogger. I've had a great time over the years, and I'm very proud of this book that I put out.
Have you noticed anything that has changed over that time? I mean, I'm sure blogging is not something that, everybody had as a goal, but obviously you saw certain things and you had strong feelings, you wanted to put these feelings into words. And now, 9 years later, you're doing things probably you couldn't have imagined at the time. How has it changed over that time, and why?
Well, when I started, it was really when the whole social media boom kind of kicked in. And I just started sharing recipes with friends on a Facebook page. And it was just a very small thing, and some friends really thought, oh, this is great, I'm going to share it with my friends. And it started to build and build and build. And
was there a particular... Was there a particular recipe that kind of caught fire?
Well, a lot of people were always asking, how do you make your, what we call Sunday gravy? Many people call it red sauce.
Yes.
In my area, mm-hmm. Sunday gravy. And everybody has their own recipe for that. And everybody's recipe is, that's the correct recipe. You're not going to argue with anybody else, you know.
Well, that's funny about that. That, too, is the some people put sugar in it and some people don't. And it is a very simple thing. I try to tell folks, because I'm half Italian myself, you know, making spaghetti, if you're just going to use a regular red sauce, it's as simple as putting, you know, the sauce in a can, if you will, and then adding your own stuff, you know, some garlic, some oregano, maybe some salt to taste, some pepper, and then, you know, maybe some chili flakes, those kinds of things. Very simple stuff.
Yeah, and I'm so glad that you just brought that up, because you just gave the explanation to the name of my book, A Little of This and Some of That. There are so many Italian recipes that's what it would follow. I would ask my grandmother, how do you make this? And, well, you put a little bit of olive oil and some garlic, and I really needed to break that down and figure it out. So that's where the title of the book came from.
And that does make it kind of frustrating, too, though, because I think most American cooks prefer to have, you know, direct... a quarter teaspoon, those
sure.
kinds of things.
Yeah, my wife is, she enjoys baking. Now, neither one of us are professional bakers or cooks. We both do it as a hobby. She prefers the baking method, which is scientific. You have to follow the steps. I prefer the cooking method, which is more artistic. I'm a graphic designer by trade, actually. So I find it very therapeutic to do this. It comes naturally to me. And the book that I did, actually, I did all of the layout and the design and the photography. It's been a real passion project for me.
Now, Philadelphia is a great food city, but with large cities, sometimes the identity is kind of hard to find. I mean, you had South Philly,
yeah.
So you were from there, so you knew that particular neighborhood.
Right, right. And each neighborhood has their own, unique food specialties. What I'm finding out is friends of mine whose parents or grandparents came from Italy, each region or section of Italy, they would make a dish that's very similar, but they would call it something different.
Oh, really?
And I'm finding, what one person may call, there's a dish around Easter time that's called pastiche. And
I've heard of that.
The version that I know is it's like an Easter cheese bread. Umbrian cheese bread is the official term for it. But different regions bake it different ways. Some make them a little pocket size. Some make them as a full loaf. They pronounce them differently. And I find that talking to friends, especially, like I said before, through Facebook, which was the big gateway to meeting people, other foodies.
Yes.
They find things that, oh, my gosh, when I post a recipe, oh, my gosh, my aunt made that years ago, and I didn't know what it was called, and I thank you for sending that. And it was a lot of back and forth like that, which I found out, like you said, different areas make different things, but there are similarities.
Yeah, it's the taste and the smell that I think we associate with family connections. And it's one of the, I think it's one of the key things in our memory. Most of us, I think of pictures, but I hesitate to say that, smells. I was telling Dom off the air that, I just went home not too long ago, and there were some smells in a bakery shop. And, I know when I walk in there, even if my eyes were closed, I could tell you where I am. And I think that is true for all cultures. What I want to do, though, is take a break. We've talked in generalities. I would like to talk specifically about Thanksgiving because, the Pilgrims weren't Italians that I know of. But I do want to figure out exactly what there is special in your blogging experience with Thanksgiving, and we'll do that coming up next.
News Talk 93.9 and 910 WSBA.
Let's head back to the phone, and we're talking with Dominic Kondo, who is a blogger, domskitchen.com, and author of a book, which he actually did all the work on, the graphic layout and the pictures. A little of this and some of that. We're talking about food and Thanksgiving. And in particular, Dominic's tradition is Italian, growing up in South Philly. Dominic, so are there special things for Thanksgiving that you're aware of in your community?
Well, I tell you, what I refer to as an Italian-American Thanksgiving that I am aware of is soup till you go nuts. Because it's always been a food festival. I think any chance you give an Italian-American to cook a meal, they enjoy it. And this is kind of the Super Bowl of that, being able to cook this amazing meal.
Now, what about chestnuts? I seem to remember chestnuts. I was trying to search my memory because they usually fall from the tree or around in the fall. And I seem to remember some chestnuts in things like stuffing.
Sure. I mean, there are traditional recipes that you could put it in stuffing. I know my brother would roast chestnuts. We would usually do that after dinner. But anywhere you can squeeze that in, that is definitely something I do recall and remember, and it brings back, like we were speaking in the last segment, just wonderful memories. The smell of it, and there are so many traditional recipes that are part of the Italian Thanksgiving tradition.
One of them that I remember, but this isn't to Thanksgiving, though, so each culture is a little bit different, but you mentioned pastiche, and I remember a different thing. Now, this is for Easter, so it's not Thanksgiving, but in our family, rice pie is what we would have at on Easter. So
yes. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's not Easter without rice pie. And I tell Germans, the Germans in our area, Pennsylvania Dutch, they don't know what that means.
Yeah, rice pie is that is a staple in my family. I'm I'm so glad that you brought that up and you were aware of that. That's one of my grandmother's recipes.
Excellent.
That I tracked down and still travels through the family. We do a rice pie. We do a ham pie as well.
Oh, really?
Which is, there's various names of that. Some people call it pizza game. Some people call it pizza rustica. And it's almost like an Italian quiche with a lot of the Italian meats in it. Salami, pepperoni,
well, frittata.
Ham. This is baked in the oven. It's very similar to a frittata, but actually baked like a pie. Frittata is more on the stovetop.
But see, if anybody's listening, notice the just little key differences, and it's something else.
Right. It's all similar, just cooked a little bit different. And as long as you're enjoying it, that's all that I'm concerned about. You call it what you want, make it however you want. As long as you are doing it, that's the key.
So
keep these traditions going.
So is there anything in your family tradition where when Thanksgiving comes, this is what you're having over and above anything that might be considered, you know, traditional American Thanksgiving?
Oh, sure. Well, the first thing we start with is escarole soup. I don't know if you're familiar with it. Some people may refer to it as Italian wedding soup. Some people may refer to it as holiday soup. The correct pronunciation is escarole soup. If you were brought up where I grew up in South Philly, we call it scuttle soup. That they really cut down.
Cut it down, yeah.
Yeah, they cut it down. And it's escarole, which is a leafy green, like a bitter leafy green.
Like kale a little bit, not quite as big as kale.
Yeah, a little bit softer than a kale, cross between a kale and a spinach. It's boiled in a chicken broth with little mini meatballs. People put some carrots or some celery in it.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
That was always the first course on our Thanksgiving table, and there are many people that reach out for two bowls of it. It's so good. We have it once a year.
Yeah, well, who needs the turkey?
Right. And I don't know if I'm jumping ahead here, but that's another thing with the Italian-American culture. Turkey is kind of a secondary thing on many of their tables. I'm not speaking for myself here personally. My family, we do enjoy the Thanksgiving turkey, but so many Italian-American families incorporate a pasta dish on their Thanksgiving table.
Wow.
Maybe even something as big as a lasagna because it's a big celebration. And who has room for turkey?
Oh, my gosh, yeah.
I personally don't go that route. We can have lasagna all the times of the year. This turkey is a special part of the Thanksgiving.
Let me ask you, oysters in the stuffing or not?
My mom does a sausage stuffing. I have heard of oyster stuffing. Believe it or not, I don't think I've ever tried an oyster stuffing. You kind of gravitate towards what you're used to.
What's available too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I would one of these days I will get to try it. I'm sure it sounds fantastic. Is that the route that you go?
No, sausage, as a matter of fact. I always wanted to try an oyster, and I just wondered if, you know, Philadelphia being closer to the shore than we are, for example. I know up in New England, again, this is a different holiday, not Thanksgiving, but the Night of the Seven Fishes.
On
Christmas Eve. It was a tradition in our family, my mother's side of the family, to make all kinds. We did everything you had on Christmas Eve dinner was related to the sea.
Right. Yep, we do that as well. And I'm so glad to see that tradition continuing as well. And we're getting to introduce it to our kids. My cousin hosts dinner now. We all contribute to it because, you know, my grandmother is no longer with us, and my aunts. Or, you know, they're just getting tired of making all of that food. So, and again, I'm just so happy and proud to see that you know, all of my family, they're still in the continuing the traditions and passing them along. And my two daughters, who are ages 13 and 9, they look forward to everything now. They understand that this time of year we're making this or we're visiting this person. And it's very heartwarming for me to see that. And I feel like I've achieved something with my food blog and now
food,
my book.
Yeah, the food is the key link between the generations. Aside from sharing time and stories, food is a big part of that. Final question, is there anything that you're really looking forward to on Thanksgiving that you generally don't have the rest of the year other than the traditional stuff?
Spending time with my kids, you know, my wife and I, again, like I said, full-time working parents, it's always tough to squeeze time in.
True.
So we make sure that we start decorating for Christmas this weekend, whether people think it's early or not. You just take advantage of the time and And Thanksgiving leftovers. Hey, if Thanksgiving meal is, if the Thanksgiving meal happens once a year, the Thanksgiving leftovers happen once a year, and you can get totally creative with those, which is really fun.
Dominic Kondo, author of A Little of This and Some of That, he blogs under domskitchen.com. Thank you so much for spending some time with us, and it's nice to talk to a fellow Pennsylvanian.
Oh, thank you very much. I had a great time, and happy Thanksgiving to you and all your listeners.
Happy, safe holiday to you and your family as well. Thank you, Dominic.